You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Today is July 4th, 2023. I am your host, Dan Keller, and today's show features an interview with Jim Stewart of the Waterloo Region Health Coalition, a node in the Ontario Health Coalition, whose goal is to defend public health care against privatization. In the interview, Jim speaks on Doug Ford's and the Conservative government's continuing privatization agenda, the work that the Waterloo Region Health Coalition is undertaking, and the growing movement within the healthcare system and across the public sphere that is organizing to support healthcare workers and protect public healthcare in Ontario. The interview follows up on the June 26th demonstration at St. Mary's Hospital in Kitchener, which was organized by the Ontario Nurses Association, UNIFOR, the Canadian Union of Public Employees, the Ontario Public Service Employees Union, and the Service Employees International Union, alongside local labor activists, and which targeted the hospital CEO and the Ontario government. The demo, attended by around 200 people, was one in a series of recent demonstrations as the government continues privatization of the public health care system while accelerating its decades-long underfunding. Privatization of public health care is not only happening in Ontario. Recent data shows that in Quebec, private surgeries cost twice as much than public ones, and that in Canada as a whole, hospitals are paying up to 8 times more for nurses from private firms. To help put the pressure to privatize the Ontario healthcare system in a more historical context, former Conservative Premier from the 1990s, Mike Harris, a proponent of neoliberal privatization of public services while in power, now sits on the board of Chartwell, a private, for-profit long-term care service provider, while his wife, Laura, owns a nurse-for-hire service. They are both personally profiting from the privatization of healthcare that Mike Harris orchestrated while in power. The following 15 years of Liberal Party rule in Ontario did little to fix the mess that Harris created, as the healthcare system continued to be underfunded up until the current government of Doug Ford took power and accelerated privatization. With all that in mind, let's get to the interview. Can you tell us about the Waterloo Region Health Coalition and the work you are responsible for there?
Yes. Well, Dan, the Waterloo Region Health Coalition is a component or a chapter of the Ontario Health Coalition, which is a province-wide organization, and it's made up of volunteers, people like yourself and me, ordinary citizens, and our mandate is to protect and strengthen public health care across Ontario. I'm the chair of the Waterloo Region Health Coalition.
What kind of work are you undertaking to meet your goals?
Well, Dan, what we were doing up until the most recent election was advocating on behalf of public health care, trying to ensure that we had sufficient bed capacity in our region, ensuring that we had sufficient numbers of nurses in our region, and that the funding that the province of Ontario, the government of Ontario, was providing to Waterloo region and, of course, all of the other public health regions across the province was sufficient. Unfortunately, what we've seen after now 5 years in power is Mr. Ford's, you know, ongoing focus on privatizing our public health care system and creating a crisis by decreasing the overall funding per capita in Ontario to dead last amongst all provinces. We're also dead last when it comes to the number of nurses per capita and the numbers of beds per capita. And then just to exacerbate that crisis, what Mr. Ford has done is he slapped on some a wage restriction legislation, Bill 124, to ensure that the nurses and other medical technologists who work in our public hospitals aren't paid adequately, which is really shocking, kind of a slap in the face to those same people that just a year and a half ago we were banging pots for because they were so heroic trying to save us from the pandemic. So he has done this and he continues to do this privatization. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about what he's actually doing under Bill 60, because it's a very repugnant piece of legislation.
And let's move on to that. Can you tell people what you mean when you speak about privatization of healthcare? Like, what does it look like?
Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that, Dan, because, you know, during the lead up to the election, the Ford government denied that they were going to privatize. And then right after the election, they privatized the system. And I'll explain what they've done using Bill 60. And quite frankly, during the election, despite repeated requests for the conservatives to attend all party meetings and to discuss their plans for public health care, they simply denied that they were doing any kind of privatization. They wouldn't show up and speak to the public about it. There was no mention during the election from the conservatives, from the Ford government, about what they were planning to do with our public health care system. And yet, at exactly the same time, they were doubling the funding to private, profit-driven clinics. And this is really how it's being unrolled in the province of Ontario. The Ford administration has made a couple of announcements around driving most of our public surgical services from our public hospitals. These are starting with cataract surgeries, and they soon to be followed up by hip and knee surgeries. But he's talking about a very significant, to use their words, diversion of these services away from our public hospitals and into profit-driven private clinics. So this is a very serious and very damaging policy, because what's happening now is we're seeing the permanent transfer of over 50% of surgeries from our hospitals to these private clinics, as well as CT scans and MRI scans being taken out of our public hospitals and delivered in private clinics to a very significant number. And this alone is so damaging to our public hospitals, because it also removes not just the surgeries, but all the funding that our hospitals get for these surgeries. It'll decimate the human resources. So we're talking about the doctors, the nurses, the medical technologists, the X-ray technologists, the, you know, cleaning staff in terms of infection control, all that sort of stuff will all be removed, because there won't be any money to pay for those services. Again, in our public hospitals, they're being relocated to these profit-driven clinics. And then it's going to cost a lot more. And this is what is so shocking and why we're so sort of confused by this, because not only will these profit-driven clinics be looking to make a good profit, obviously that's what they're going to do, that's what profit motive entails, but it's going to cost the government of Ontario to OHIP much more money to deliver the same procedures in these private clinics. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Cataract surgeries will currently cost in a public hospital about $400, but in a private clinic, that's going to cost over $600. So that's a $200 additional fee to open for each cataract surgery that's done across the province. Now, if you multiply that additional premium, that extra $200, by all the cataract surgeries across the province, we're looking at $30.7 million in additional cost to OHIP to do exactly the same work. So it costs a lot more. And I'll give you another example just to drive this point home. If you're looking at hips and knees, it's about $14,000, almost $14,000 in a public hospital, but in the profit-driven private clinics, it'll be around $28,000, depending on the type of hip or knee surgery you're receiving. So that's about, on average, $15,000 premium that OHIP has to pay for each and every one of those surgeries. So if you multiply that by all the hips and knees that are done across the provinces, what you get is an eye-popping $600 million in additional costs to OHIP to deliver exactly the same services. So combined, just those two surgicals, the procedures, cataracts and hip and knee, is going to cost the province of Ontario an additional $630 million every single year. I mean, so it's a lot. And it gets worse, Dan, because there's also something called a facility fee that goes along with all these procedures to our hospitals. And those facility fees will also be removed and delivered to these profit-driven private clinics. It really begs the question in my mind, are they really private, or are they just corporations that are being funded by the government of Ontario? So these facility fees, according to the Auditor General in 2014, which was the last time we were able to get accurate information on facility fees, comparing them to procedural fees, but that was over double what was being paid to these private clinics in terms of procedural fees. So if we're using that metric again of 630 additional millions of dollars for the procedural fees, and it's double that for facility fees, as we have seen from the Auditor General report in the past, then we're looking at, you know, $120 million in facility fees plus an extra $630 million approximately in procedural fees. Together, that's, you know, $180 million every single year just for those two services. But again, he's planning to transfer 50% of all of the surgeons from our hospitals. So this is a spectacular amount of additional cost that's being diverted, that's going to cost the province of Ontario simply by diverting services to private clinics. And the other thing that I think me going on, I'd like to talk about capacity. I mean, he's doing this because he says he would like to get rid of the backlog, but we have a capacity of over 100,000 surgical cases that could happen across the province of Ontario in our existing hospitals, because most of our ORs do not work any longer than 9 to 4 or 8 to 3, Monday to Friday in our hospitals. So all we have to do is fund a couple of more hours of OR time in our hospitals, or even open up some of the closed ORs that we have. And we could easily meet this capacity requirement. You know, in Grand River Hospital, there's 10 ORs, but only 7 are being used. The other 3 have been shut down because of lack of funding. The same thing with St. Mary's Hospital, 8 ORs, but only 6 are being used, to give you an example. So we've got the capacity. It's going to cost a lot more money to get this done. It's going to devastate our public hospitals. He's going to poach all of the staff out of our public hospitals. They'll be working in private clinics. And so we think that's a really bad policy.
I then asked Jim why the government was willing to dump hundreds of millions and indeed billions of dollars extra into private clinics instead of simply funding the existing public health care system adequately. Here is what Jim had to say.
So you just asked, why are they doing this? Mm-hmm. And that's our big question to Mr. Ford, is why would you create a duplicate set of ORs across the province in these private clinics when we've got all the capacity we need, and it's going to cost the government of Ontario and the people of Ontario, the citizens of Ontario, far more? Because we're not just talking about the cost to the government of Ontario. We're talking about all of the upcharges and the manipulation and the co-mingling of covered services with non-covered services that make it really difficult for the ordinary citizen to understand why he's paying or why he shouldn't be paying for these services in these private clinics. But that is the central question, Dan, is why would they do this when it's going to destroy our public hospitals, the hospitals that we have built and paid for, volunteered in, et cetera, for over 100 years? It doesn't make any healthcare policy sense, because we're going to be denuding all of our hospitals by taking all of the existing well-trained staff and replacing them with potentially less skilled staff. And that's basically what Bill 60 says, that a nurse can be a nurse or a designated person. Same with a physician, can be a physician or a designated person. Even an x-ray technologist or a medical technologist can be a designated person. So the regulations around labor have been removed. And one other thing that they're doing is as you alluded to earlier, they're only taking the very lightweight cases, the easy cases in the private clinics. And the reason why they're doing that is because they don't have anything like an emergency room. They can't, you know, cross match blood types if there's something goes wrong and during a surgery, et cetera. And if something does go wrong in a private clinic, do you know what they do? They call 911. So we're saying that not only is it going to cost more, not only is it going to be a nightmare in terms of staffing now for public hospitals, but it's also less safe. And we have a huge body of evidence from the United States pointing out that private delivery of healthcare has worse outcomes, much significantly worse outcomes than public delivery. And it's, you know, it's easy to understand why. It's because if you're trying to make a buck off a surgery, if you want to drive profit, you're going to look for ways of increasing your throughput. You're going to look for ways of lowering your labor costs. You're going to cut corners and so that you can drive profit. And that's what we've seen time and time again with private clinics. So we think this is a disaster. We know that the people of Ontario do not support this because in our recent referendum, 98.7% of the people who voted said no to privatization. The bill itself, as I said earlier, is repugnant because it protects these private clinics from any freedom of information or reporting. There's no transparency. There's no public review. Everything they do is in secret. And because they're not Ministry of Health employees, they're not subject to the conflict of interest legislation or the anti-corruption legislation that we have right now in our hospitals. So it's a really bad idea. And then we're going to have a director of private clinics who's either going to be an independent person who doesn't have to tell us anything about what they're doing, or it could even be a healthcare corporation running our public healthcare, a component of our healthcare system. So we think this is a very seriously flawed idea, and it can't go unchallenged. So that's why we hit the referendum, and that's why we're holding conversations with our media, with the media across the province.
A quick note on the referendum: how many people participated in that?
In the referendum, well, we had, I mean, it's a very difficult thing to manage to carry off. If you're a volunteer-run organization, we're certainly not Elections Canada. So we were very pleased by we had almost 400,000 people across the province of Ontario, in thousands and thousands of polling stations across all of Ontario and Waterloo region. We had almost 21,000 votes. We had 60 polling stations from Cambridge to Waterloo and in the townships as well. So, you know, we feel like we really got the message out. I would like to suggest it's impossible for the Ford government to just ignore 400,000 people in Ontario who took the time to vote in this referendum to expressly demand that privatization be stopped.
Sure. And if, if Ford continues or works to ignore that, you know, what are the next steps for Waterloo Region Health Coalition? You know, there was a demo just the other day in front of St. Mary's Hospital with a nurse and healthcare union workers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not going away. We certainly are going to ramp up our resistance to this. I mean, obviously, we attended and participated in the rally and the protest that was held at St. Mary's Hospital just earlier. And as you mentioned, and the thing about that particular protest, it was the first time that all five unions that work in the St. Mary's Hospital came together and created a united front. So this is where we're going. We're going to have a groundswell of unanimous support for our public healthcare system. We're going to be driving major rallies like this. We're going to make it uncomfortable for the Ford administration to just simply ignore the fact that people do not want privatized healthcare. We're not going to stop. We're not going away. We're going to hold a massive rally on the 25th of September at Queen's Park, where we're looking to get, you know, tens of thousands of people to show up for public healthcare. And so we'd like to invite any of your listeners to participate in that rally at Queen's Park as well. We'll be organizing buses down to Queen's Park from our Waterloo region to sort of make this thing happen. And we're going to continue with other policies that we have that I'm not at liberty to speak to you about right now because we're just rolling them out, and that will, again, make the government of Ontario uncomfortable, you know, and make it, we hope, impossible for them to deny that they lied about what was happening with public health care in the lead up to the election. And reverse themselves 180 degrees right after the election, you know, that's undemocratic. People do not like that. And we are reminding the people of Ontario that they have supported their public health care systems, that they love their public health care systems. And it's a nonpartisan issue, Dan. I mean, you can be a Conservative or a Green Party member or a Liberal or an NDP. This is nonpartisan. Everyone in Ontario cherishes our public health care system, and they don't want to see it privatized, and they don't want to be incurring medical debt the way the Americans have. I mean, 45% of every American today has over $10,000 in debt. 60% of all the bankruptcies in the United States of America are directly a result of medical debt. So we don't want that introduced to the province of Ontario. I'd like to suggest that you can't simply go if you're the government of Ontario, you can bring forward Bill 60, this piece of legislation I was telling you about, but this is an undemocratic piece of legislation. The people of Ontario do not support this, did not ask for this, and certainly don't want it.
As a timely example, I also asked Jim about the closure of the emergency room in the hospital in Minden and the subsequent opening of an urgent care clinic in the building, where the not-for-profit charity, Kawartha North Family Health Team, now has access to the space and equipment that the public emergency room was using. Here is Jim's response.
Yeah, I mean, the people of Minden, it's a very similar situation. The people of Minden did not request that their ER be closed. This was sort of done in secrecy behind doors, and there was no rationale for it other than the fact that the government of Ontario doesn't want to fund that ER, but the people of Minden certainly want this. And so you can understand how they responded to it. This type of ER closure as a result of underfunding is exactly what we are forecasting across the province with Bill 60, because as I mentioned earlier, as funding is dried up in our public hospitals because all the surgical services are transferred out, then you have to ask yourself the question, what's going to happen in these small or rural hospitals? How will they possibly afford to keep running if all their funding and all their people are gone? What happens next? I think we're looking at multiple Mindens across the province in a community that doesn't have an emergency room. I mean, really, realistically, that's just unacceptable in the province of Ontario, especially when we know that our public health care system can be completely resilient. If it's funded properly, it's less expensive to run, and the outcomes are better. So why, again, big question, why would we do this?
Again, they're replacing the public service with a less service, being the urgent care clinic, in the same building for more expense to the public. And I've been told over my entire life the efficiencies of capitalism.
Well, you know, that's a big myth, actually. If we look at healthcare, it's far more efficient and less expensive to run it in a public reality, a public mechanism, far more efficient. Now, that's because healthcare is incredibly complex. We're talking about human beings here, and all in each case being slightly different. But we're not talking about widgets here. We're talking about healthcare. We're talking about your children. We're talking about our elderly. We're talking about your loved ones. So it's a completely, you know, apples to oranges comparison. And our public health care system, when it's even underfunded, operates extremely well.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have. All I have for right now, Jim. It's been wonderful speaking with you today.
I would just urge all of your listeners to get active, to at least make a phone call or send an email to every MPP across the province, across our region. I'd like them to join in our protests at the Waterloo Region Health Coalition, and they can contact us directly at waterlooregionhealthcoalition@gmail.com.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Thank you, Dan.
You have been listening to an interview with Jim Stewart of the Waterloo Region Health Coalition, speaking about the privatization of public health care in Ontario and the ongoing efforts to defend the health care system and to support all health care workers. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at canada-info.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.